Let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of your dear Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, our coming King, and we confess the one who even comes to us now through the Word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in former days you spoke to the prophets of old, but now in these last days you speak to us directly. We give you thanks and praise for your Word, which never returns unto you void, but always accomplishes that for which you send it. And we need that. We need that to count on that unchanging truth from our unchanging God, because we confess that the constant changes in our life make us weary and heavy laden. So many changes. But we pray, Lord God, that this evening we would be drawn to you, our immutable God, our unchanging King, whose forgiveness, love, mercy, and compassion never fail, are utterly and completely unchanging. We glorify you. We thank you. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in the Lord, when we consider that which causes stress in our lives, stress that can easily move from healthy stress with good energy behind it into the realm of distress, what causes distress is constant change, and especially change that is very dramatic, climactic, and significant in our lives. When people have major changes in their lives, like moving to a new place, for example, or losing a loved one, going through an illness. These are major life changes that cause stress in our lives. Over the years, I've seen Tracy go through times of stress, and they certainly corresponded to whenever we moved. Our first move was to go from our university days in Irvine, but our first home being in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to a townhome for the first year in seminary. But because I was so wet behind the ears, I needed more experience. So we went to LA for a summer vicarage, lived in Los Angeles, downtown LA. Then was back to Fort Wayne to a different townhome, our third move. And then after that, we went to Riverside for our regular internship for a year. And then after that, we went back to a different townhome in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Then we got our first call and moved to Glendora in a condo, but then moved to a house in Covina. And then after that, of course, we moved to Aliso Viejo when we got the call to St. Paul's in Laguna Beach. Then was on to moving to the Woodlands, Texas for the call in Texas. Now here we are living in Lake Forest by St. Paul's Irvine. And Tracy has said enough is enough. Though she also says that she will always support me wherever the Lord sends us, but we're so glad to be here, of course. But change is stressful. I'll never forget one of my parishioner years and years ago. There was so much dramatic change in a very short period of time. She was already very, very stressed because her dear brother had been diagnosed with a serious condition and was in critical condition in the hospital. And she was very close to him and very drained from caring for him and very concerned about him. And then, during the same time period, her son got into a very serious car accident. And right after her son got into the car accident, she was let go of at her job. And she was unemployed. And all of this happened in a span of just a couple of weeks. And as she came to see me, and as this was coming out, and she was in distress to report how she was feeling in this, feeling as though she were drowning, I felt as if I was witnessing right before me her having a nervous breakdown. Change can be devastating. Change is something that depicts the fact that we are always going through entropy, change that leads to some very unpleasant realities. Scientists say, can you imagine that we lose about 500 million skin cells every single day? We are always in change, and much of that change leading to our aging, of course, it leads to a whole new set of challenges. I used to be able to jump pretty high. I can barely jump now, Miles. We all go through change. And that affects us a lot. I want to carry this through to some more things that perhaps hit us at home closer. The current youngest generation using iPhones are those who we know the vast majority of whom are using the iPhones, well over 80% young people using iPhones. But around 44% report a negative impact upon themselves. You wonder why. Well, one of the reasons is because they are beholding and witnessing constant change represented in the iPhones. Constant change in society and culture and politics, changing in all aspects of culture and life. So what do we learn? Life is not stable. Life is unstable. Life is always changing. Can we possibly imagine getting married and being with one person? Can we possibly imagine holding on to our jobs and having a stable economy? Can we possibly imagine? And we are so tempted to think to ourselves, no, because change is just how it is. Life is stressful, there is constant change, and we wonder why people go through what they go through in their own personal crises, the challenge of change. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, when we come to our scripture in Malachi chapter 3, we encounter these two verses that teaches us that God in his mercy uses change for our good. So I'd like to call your attention to verses 2 through 4. I want you to notice how many times we encounter the word refine or variations thereof, especially in verse 2 and verse 3. But take a look at verses 2 through 4. And yes, God knows better than anyone that we have to go through change. But notice what God is doing in our lives as we go through our lives of change. Let's read together verses 2 through 4 of Malachi. We read together. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For example, when silver is refined, what is happening? Dross is being drawn out of the silver so that the silver may be purified. Our lives are compared to that process with precious metals. God permits us to be in the crucible that puts us under fires of change so that in the process of going through that refinement, we learn to call on the name of the Lord and to hold to him so that our faith increases, learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. That refinement is God using our undulation and the changes that cause us to be in distress to learn to hold to him, that he would refine us to know the most important gift of walking according to faith and not by sight, that no matter what, no matter how life changes, the Lord is going to bless us as he constantly refines us. There are so many scriptures that describe refinement in the lives of God's people. One of my favorite is 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul he's come to a place in his life where he's calling out to the Lord about the thorn in his flesh that's causing him to be in despair, and he's pleading to God, he says three times, to take it away from him, but the Lord says that my grace is sufficient in weakness. So Paul learns that the Lord is with him through changes, even painful changes that he must endure to do what? To increase his faith, to refine him as a man of God, to trust in the Lord no matter what. And Paul goes on to say, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. And then he confesses, when I am weak, then I am strong. That's what God's refining process does through all of our changes. But now I want you to take a look at verse 5. What do we also experience through the changes and the refinement that the Lord permits us in His mercy? Well, He patterns our lives to go against the grain of the world, to be different, to be holy, to be set apart from the ordinary. And the ordinary in the world is that which is darkness and contrary to God. So look at verse 5. Look at that which He takes us away from in our journeys of faith. This is verse 5. Let's read it together. It's a long verse, verse 5. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. So as He refines you, He refines you as one who stands out as belonging to Christ, not to this world. Walking according to the ways of God, not according to the ways of darkness. Giving glory to God and not letting sin be your master. So we have verse 5, a contrast with the ways of the world. You've been refined. You've been removed from this way of life. And now you serve the living God. If we were to stop there, we'd say, well, you know, I don't know if I can maintain that. That's a formidable task, that God would call me to stay in that straight line of refinement. But this is where we come to verse 6. And this is where we receive the article of faith regarding the nature of God, one of His most important characteristics and attributes, called His immutability. Here it is. We learn that God is unchanging. Let's read together verse 6. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. So as we are going through that undulation, that change, and God is refining us and causing us to be marked as His very own, we don't have to worry that we're going to run out of steam and that we will not be able to persist in faithfulness. Why? Because God does not change. He will always, 100% guaranteed, keep you in mercy, keep you in the forgiveness of sins, keep you in His commitment to be with you always to the very end of the age. He will never go back on His nature of not only immutability, but His nature of mercy and grace. He does not change. And that means that we stand with the One who holds us and will never let anything take us out of His hand, John 10:28. Thanks be to God that God is immutable. So I come to this conclusion. I know it sounds a little funny. By the way, when you see an A and a B, that the A, you'll see verse 7A, verse 7B. We do that sometimes because a single verse can have multiple sentences. So here we mean verse 7, the first sentence A, and the second sentence B. So I need to make sure we get B in, as Vicar read just a little while ago. What all of this means for us is this, that we, the children of God, since we are held in the hands of our unchangeable God, we remained, in a sense, unchanged through change. Even though everything around us in the world is changing, we remain unchanged in this respect, that He keeps us in Christ. He keeps us returning to Him every day, which is why I wanted to add 7b, as Vicar read, and I'll just read it out loud, 7b. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts, because through this changing world, God leads you to a pattern of life that does not change. You come back to the altar. You come back to the baptismal font. You come back to the Word of Christ. You come back to your gracious God through it all. And even though everything else is changing, in Christ we do not change. And He knows you, and He will ever know you as His very own. You are forgiven, you're redeemed, and your God is unchanging, and His love and mercy will never, ever, ever fail you. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for the Magnificat.